Hello. This is Hysterical History. I'm Haley.
And I'm Alexis.
And this is episode 2, and it's going to be my episode. I'm going to be talking about my favorite historical dude.
That's right.
I don't have a favorite historical dude.
Oh.
I don't have a favorite historical dude. Or I didn't. I'm terrible about favorites in this way.
Right.
Like, I don't have favorite bands or anything. I was originally going to do Frederick the Great.
Wonderful flute-playing man.
Old Fritz.
Yeah.
He was, like, the first not really weird guy to rule Prussia back in the day.
Right. Good old Prussia, which is not Russia.
Which is not Russia, and it's not Germany quite. So I was finding someone, I was still thinking maybe Fritz. And then, okay, imagine if you had never in your life heard of Lafayette. And then you think, hey, wasn't there, like, some important French guy in the Revolution? And then you look it up, and it turns out he's, like, the most important of the very important people of, like, French guys in the Revolution.
Oh, wow.
To the point where you can't even walk 5 minutes in any direction on the East Coast without running into a statue of him.
That's crazy.
And then you start reading. And it's like a conspiracy. Like, how did you not know about this dude?
Which anyway, is weird to me because I should like that.
Augustin von Steuben.
Wow, he's the most German-sounding name in the world.
Who is actually very like Frederick the Great in that they were contemporaries. Contemporary Prussian military leader who is probably gay.
All right.
And I knew even less about von Steuben, so I'm like, I'm going to do him.
Perfect.
But he's, to give you a little rundown, he's like part Germanic splendid sugar daddy and part hard-ass 80s power anthem training montage.
Excellent.
And he made America possible by saving us from our own weirdness.
Good job, bro.
Good job, bro.
You've done us good, and we have not done you well, apparently, at all.
No, I've never heard of this guy. So, I had heard at some point in, like, my couple decades on the planet, heard that there was some Prussian leader who kind of whipped the Continental Army into shape back when the Revolutionary War was getting started. So I kind of knew that he existed. But this guy's my jam. At the age of, like, 17, he joined the Prussian army and served as the aide-de-camp, or the aide-de-camp, as you say in American.
Right.
To Frederick the Great. So he's, like, the war secretary out on the field.
Nice.
And Frederick was also pretty... He had a couple boyfriends in his day, but his dad was a lot more strict about
it. He's very feminine.
Off his boyfriends. But von Steuben ended up, like, being accepted into Frederick the Great's, like, after-school training camp for special boys.
Oh, wow.
And he got, like, all of the really intense, like, military training and tactics, and he got trained on all that cool stuff at a pretty young age.
Was that the proper name for it? For special boys? And
the secret after-school special training camp for special boys?
Right.
I think so. I mean, it doesn't translate exactly.
Right. It sounds better in German.
It sounds much more impressive in the original Prussian dialect of German.
There you go.
So he was pretty successful as a military guy, but he was eventually discharged from the army under suspicion of having relations with young men.
Oh, suspicions of gayness. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, and by suspicion, we mean, like, he probably definitely,
like,
did.
We probably caught him in the act and we're like, oh, we're suspicious of you.
Yeah, we haven't invented cameras, but trust us, we saw things.
Right. Too bad, you know, you weren't in Alexander the Great's army. He would have been like, A+, thumbs up.
Good job.
That's what
so
you do.
Back in the day. So as soon as the gay rumors start flying around, which, just insert, like, facts when I say rumors.
Okay.
He basically just got exiled from the country.
Aww.
So he left and he started living in France.
Yeah, because French, they're okay with gay people.
Yeah, a little bit. they invent the clergy there, like, we see you. We see you, von Steuben. We know what you're up to.
We know you're a gay boy.
Luckily, Yeah, we see you. We see you, your special boy status. So
that's what we're calling them, so special boys.
Special boys. great commanders are special boys.
Yeah.
And I think he actually goes back and forth a couple times. Like, he goes the first time for military reasons, to get money and see if he can find work. And he fails miserably and ends up going back to Prussia just, like, broke as hell.
Didn't he get exiled, though?
And when
though?
He goes back, they're like, I don't know if it's actually exiled. Okay. But it's like, if you stay here, we're going to arrest you.
Okay.
So it's like, you need to get
more
out
like,
of Dodge.
Yeah, we'd prefer you leave town instead of us arresting you.
And by the way, you would prefer to leave town also.
it's a win-win for both of us.
So at this time, America, the colonies, are getting uppity with England. This is right. Like 1777. They're past getting uppity. They've like signed the papers and sent off the mean letters.
We
to
got
the
declaration
the King of England
that says, we're done with you. We're our own thing.
We're done. We want to break up.
We sent our dear John letter to England.
So George Washington sent word to his peeps in France, being, you may have heard of him, Benjamin Franklin.
Right, a little bit.
We need leaders because we are losing so hard.
Right.
I mean, there's kind of that... that unquestioning gospel in America where George Washington is like without fault.
Uh-huh.
But it says something really bad when your best commander is George Washington, like of your whole country.
Yeah.
He's not that great.
Yeah.
He sends word to Benjamin Franklin, like, we need people.
Uh-huh.
And Benjamin had heard of von Steuben, and heard of his military exploits.
Of his status as a special boy.
His special boy status.
Right.
Which, there's a thing about von Steuben is that he was legitimately a good commander and very organized.
Right.
But he also had a tendency to embellish, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He would put,
definitely.
Like, little self-made medals on his uniform and, like, give himself, like, extra frills on his coat.
That's so funny.
He always looked a little bit better than he should have.
I see. He's dressing the part.
He looks like a special boy. So Franklin's like, oh my god, von Steuben, come over and help us fight the British. And that was exactly what he said.
Right.
That one doesn't need to be translated from the original German.
Because he's English. Well, I guess he is English.
But hopefully not for long. It's it's in question.
Yeah.
And I guess originally von Steuben didn't want to go because there was kind of unrest in the Continental Army because a lot of foreign, like, mercenaries had come over, a lot of foreign...
Right.
Just fighters in general who wanted extremely high pay, and it was bad morale for all of the volunteers in the army. Like, why are you getting all these foreign people and paying them a ton of money to do what we could be
and
doing?
And I get nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though we are patently very awful at it.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, is that book they always make you read, The Hessian?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those.
Exactly.
He was German.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of Germans around. They were very good at war.
Which is weird. We never talk about them. We definitely talk about, like, the French saved our butts entirely, but we never talk about the Germans anymore. Maybe because of World War II? I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe.
Anyway.
So, word of von Steuben's activities was definitely swirling around France. I was saying the clergy was planning on either kicking him out or imprisoning him because they knew. Everyone knew.
Of course.
Just everyone knew.
He's a flamboyant man.
Franklin knew. He's a flamboyant man boy.
Mm-hmm.
So Franklin obviously knows. He's a smart guy.
Right.
He's like, so there's this special boy and he's perfect. but he might have a history of immoral
character
activities, moral character. I might like the company of men. Washington's like, that's fine.
Which, you know, that sounds exactly like someone that Benjamin Franklin would like, though. Like, that sounds like all the friends he's making in France. He's like,
have you seen my hat? but yeah, it's like, it's not like it's going to be obvious, right?
Right. Hopefully.
Spoilers, it's going to be so obvious. So he ends up going over to America. And so it's Baron von Steuben, which, by the way, like, not a real baron.
It's just a lie.
He was given the title, maybe, but it's not like a hereditary title.
Okay, so it's just to make him sound important.
Right. And I think it sounds better, like, so you have the Marquis de Lafayette, and then you have Baron von Steuben.
That's true.
But, anyway, so he comes over to America with, his young secretary, Louis, and his military secretary, Pierre, who is probably his boyfriend, just like an entourage of young, beautiful secretaries, his dog, and a couple other people, and they land in New Hampshire, December 1777, where they are immediately almost arrested because von Steuben outfitted all of them in bright red uniforms.
Oh. Did he not get, like, the memo?
The British is like, oh no.
No, actually Germans.
No, we're Prussians, really.
Right. I guess not Germans, really, but kind of.
It's a big part of von Steuben's character and his character arc in this history.
Uh-huh.
Von Steuben doesn't speak English, like, at all. Right.
Well, that'll make it clear that he's not working with the English pretty quick.
It's like, no, I'm not. It's like, what's he saying? He's just pretending to not be English. No, it's very clearly not English.
Right.
So he gets whisked away to the Continental Army at Valley Forge, and he's working for free. He's a volunteer. Oh. That's the only way that he would be accepted. Because the whole morale thing, they don't want to actually get people in and pay them money to be officers.
Right.
But Franklin also overstated his qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of a translation error. Where I think he was, like maybe a captain, a little bit less than a captain,
okay.
And it made it sound like he was, like, a lieutenant general or something.
Gotcha.
So he sounded much more important than he actually was. So he came over with all of his aides and his small greyhound, which is one of the most important things you can know about him. So he went everywhere with his dog.
Oh, that's so cute. What's his dog's name?
Azor, or Azor.
Mm. Does that mean something in German?
I'm not sure. Okay. I didn't look it up. I was too enchanted by him just having, like, this tiny dog that he carries around with him, like, all over Valley Forge in his, like, fancy robe and his, like, jingle bell sleigh, just, like, rolling up, like, what's up? Gonna kick you into action.
I see.
But there was one of the letters from his secretaries said that his dog was a beautiful Italian greyhound, but had an ear for music. So on the boat ride over, if anyone sung badly around him, he would start barking at them until they stopped. So there was the captain.
That's so funny.
The captain of the vessel would sing a song, like, every day as a musical exercise.
Right.
And it was apparently in horrible taste. And the dog finally made him stop because he wouldn't stop barking.
That's so funny. What? This dog is like, I refuse. Dog.
I refuse.
You're a terrible singer.
So, von Steuben, the special man, arrives at Valley Forge, and the Continental Army is doing so, so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they barely survive the winter. They're sick. There's a smallpox outbreak in the camp. They're all dying slowly of exposure.
And they're starving.
They're starving. They don't have real clothes, some of them, much less actual uniforms.
Right.
And then this experienced Prussian military man shows up, like, well, here's your problem. None of them have shoes.
Ah, smart man.
Also, they're using their bayonets as shovels.
Very
ineffective. I think I see why you're losing the war. You're all, like, idiots.
Right.
What's happening? So he starts training everyone right away. The fact that he can't speak English, it would seem like it was a bit of a hindrance, but it's not.
That's
because
good.
Valley Forge is crawling with people that you might also recognize, like Alexander Hamilton and John Lawrence and Nathaniel Greene, who are so intelligent and translate everything for him.
What great babes.
So, I know. But, like, what he would do is he would have these fits of, like, kind of comical aggression at the soldiers. Like, he would, you know, be yelling at them in German.
Right.
And then in French to do things. And then all of the language together and just swearing nonstop until he'd run out of words to say. And then he would call up his aides, like,
help
come
me
here
with the
and
words.
Swear at them in English. Yeah, come swear at these people in English. They're not doing what I am telling them. Come here and yell at them in the right language.
Mm-hmm.
But the soldiers loved him. This good-natured smile, and they would just do it.
Mm.
So while he's at Valley Forge, he meets his reputed future lover, Captain Benjamin Walker. And upon meeting Walker for the first time, he apparently said, "If I had seen an angel from heaven, I should not have more rejoiced."
Wow.
It's not subtle.
No.
and like within a few weeks, Walker was von Steuben's aide-de-camp. And
boyfriend.
Then like a year later, William North met the Baron, and William was going to go on to be like the fifth senator of New York or something.
Okay.
Also boyfriends.
Nice.
Also aide-de-camp eventually.
Okay. I mean, aide-de-camp at this point just means boyfriend.
It does.
That's what
so
I've learned.
It's sort of like when you hear rumors, insert facts. And when I say aide-de-camp, insert boyfriend. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
And, you know, it's like the thing of history where it's like, well, we can't prove it. But given von Steuben's history... I love the way Wikipedia phrases this. It would have been out of character for him if it were not true.
That's wonderful.
So the way everything kind of worked is von Steuben would write out a portion of the training manual and all of the maneuvers he wanted everyone to do in French. And then he'd give it to his aide Pierre to translate into English.
Right.
And then Pierre would pass the translation on to Lawrence or Hamilton, and they would put it into, like, proper military form
and like grammatically
and so
to make sure it's good,
like make sure it makes sense and it's actually
a
military language
speak.
Instead of just translated French. Then they would make out like 14 different copies for all the different brigade inspectors, and then each morning von Steuben would memorize it in English even though he didn't know what half the words meant or what any of the grammar was.
And just phonetically.
And then do it again the next day.
Oh, nice.
And this is how they got everything done.
It seems like a lot of work, but apparently it was worth it.
Yeah, apparently it was worth it, because afterwards they started not losing, and then they started winning.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm a little bummed that he's not in Hamilton the musical, like just even a little bit.
Right?
Since Lafayette is.
Actually, they were pretty good buds.
Right.
Too. I think just because in general... he's not as famous
that makes
as
sense.
Lafayette. I mean, if the Prussians had sent over, like, a small part of a navy to help win the end of the war, maybe they would have been.
Maybe.
And also, if, like, Lafayette wasn't a pretty confirmed homosexual, it probably wouldn't. It would help.
That's true, I guess. I don't know. I feel like Lynn would be pretty chill about that, but I don't blame him.
Right. So... all of these drill manuals that von Steuben is writing eventually come together into print.
Okay.
And this completed drill manual is known as the United States Military Blue Book. And it's in circulation until, like, 1812.
Oh, wow.
And some of it's still in use today, but it goes through, like, 70 editions.
Nice.
This guy literally wrote the book. He just, like, gets in there, organizes, wins wars.
That's what we needed.
But I have a whole section of notes here about him and Hamilton. Because everyone's going to want to know about that.
Of course.
But he was older than Hamilton by 27 years.
Oh, wow.
And And Hamilton and Lawrence thought he was the coolest because he was well-educated and well-spoken, but he also knew all the juicy war stories, so it was very exciting to talk to him.
He's got gossip.
And, you know, and he's got all the juicy war gossip.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting when you're, like, the secretary of every other great man in Valley Forge.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually get to go out and do stuff.
Right. I almost said poor Napoleon. Poor Hamilton.
Get your head out of France, Alexis. I'm
sorry, America.
Nope. So we gave him the benefit of his experiences and, like, all the stuff he had learned under Frederick the Great. But despite all of this, von Steuben was kind of a child.
I believe
it. One of Alexander Hamilton's biographies says that in spite of all von Steuben's military genius, he was helpless as a child in other things, and to Hamilton he looked for advice and help.
Oh, that's so cute. They were like equal friendship friends.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you don't speak English. Here's all the help.
Oh, and you're kind of a dum-dum.
Yeah. Like,
but you're great.
Von Steuben was that touch of enlightenment, sophistication. They were his intellectual and social equals.
Right.
You know, they could joke with him. He was like the cool uncle guy.
The cool gay uncle.
Your cool gay uncle. So while he's organizing the army and making sure America in its infancy doesn't die face down in a puddle, probably the most important anecdote you need to know, even more important than his musically inclined dog and all of his boyfriends.
Okay.
And how he yelled at everyone in every language but English.
Okay. All great things.
There's one story that is just incredible. And that is that von Steuben threw what's probably the first underwear party in the United States military at his house in Valley Forge.
Where people are just in their underwear?
You got it.
Okay. You made it sound like this is a common thing. He started the underwear party trend. It is blowing up.
It's blowing up. So one of his aides wrote this. Just because a lot of people, their uniforms were in tatters, it was kind of an in-joke that, like, most people's pants aren't even in one piece to begin with. So von Steuben, his aides, invited a number of young officers to dine at his quarters on the condition that none should be admitted that had on a whole pair of breeches.
Oh, that's the weirdest gay party.
And so they had dinner, lots of guests. The guests kind of collected all their rations, and they feasted with hickory nuts for dessert.
Delicious.
And this is the cherry on top of everything. I'll read this quoted. Instead of wine, we had some kind of spirits with which we made, quote-unquote, salamanders. That is to say, after filling our glasses, we set the liquor on fire and drank it up, flames and all.
What? He made fireballs, dude. That's dope
as
hell.
They had pantsless, flaming shots parties at Valley Forge.
You see, this is what I'm... So, like, this is why I want to do our founding frat boys, because frickin' von Steuben is a founding frat boy, even if he's not technically a founding father.
Right. He helped found, and he was a daddy. I think that he should be included.
I include him. I count him.
So if any... For all you listeners, if anyone tells you history is boring, you just tell them. During the American Revolutionary War, von Steuben hosted a party with all of the hot twinks in the middle of the winter that you had to be pantsless to get into, and then they served flaming shots.
Shots.
But it's so incredible. This is peak Steuben.
Right.
He goes from, like, being a poor exile, driven out of almost two countries for being a dirty old homo.
Uh-huh.
To having pantsless, handsome officer parties, flaming shots, on the regular.
That's amazing for him.
While he founds the U.S. military.
Just killing it.
He's living the dream.
He totally is.
Living the American dream.
With his musically inclined dog and all his aide-de-camp boyfriends.
Yeah, with all his boyfriends, his musically inclined dog, and all of his fancy uniforms. the Continental Army starts not losing, and he does so well at Valley Forge that Washington recommends that von Steuben be named Inspector General of the Army instead of just being an unpaid intern.
Oh, nice.
And Congress
he gets
says,
paid
yeah.
for his job.
He gets paid for it. So in that role, he spreads his methods throughout the forces by circulating the Blue Book,
okay,
which are the regulations of order and discipline of the troops of the United States. So they have a troop of 100 really well-trained people, and those go out and train another 100 people, and it just spreads.
Nice.
So Washington and Franklin's trust in him was aptly rewarded.
Hooray.
He whipped everyone into shape, took on the main superpower at the time, which it's a risk to say that in front of you because you're going to argue for France.
No, at the time, definitely England.
Okay. Yeah, I think at this point, Napoleon is alive, but he's seven or something.
Yeah, he's a very young child, and France is having a bad time.
France is having a real bad time, and it's only going to get worse.
Yep.
So by 1781, war's coming to an end, he replaced the Marquise de Lafayette as commander in Virginia.
Okay.
He continues to serve as Washington's inspector general, actively improving administrations in the army through, 83.
Nice.
And he, continues formulating plans for post-war American military after they win.
Wow.
This guy's getting it done.
He is. We needed him.
We needed him. Mm-hmm. What a cool guy.
Super cool.
So, after the war, Washington gives him a house at Valley Forge, which he sort of made his home with his aide-de-camps, William North and Benjamin Walker.
Both of them? What a
Both
pimp.
Both of them. What a... His stable of boyfriends.
What?
They all sort of live there.
Also, I just want to point out that this happens at all times in history. I feel like people think that, people, first of all, being gay, and also people in, weird multi-person relationships or, open relationships is, new, and that's, just people being mm-hmm. cool now. It's not. It just wasn't socially acceptable, so we didn't talk about it. But it's always been happening.
It's always been there.
Right.
And, it's the pressures of society are such that North and Walker eventually have to go out into the world and get wives and such.
Of course.
But it is extremely notable that von Steuben was never married.
Right, because he couldn't get married to someone he loved.
Exactly. So they lived there, and a couple other people. It wasn't just the three of them. But it was kind of a revolving set of people, ex-soldiers, fashionable young men coming, living off his hospitality, and then leaving. I think North was the one that stayed the most, although he was gone a lot of the time on the road, doing business, becoming senator, all that cool stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty important.
Yeah, pretty important. Life wasn't all rosy. Von Steuben had a lot of financial problems.
Mm.
He liked to live extravagantly.
Oh, of course.
And
he's a flamboyant special boy.
He's a flamboyant special boy, and he's a sugar daddy. He needs all that dough.
Right, for all the boys.
But it didn't help that Congress, didn't want to give him his pension, though.
Oh, those dicks.
I know. Von Steuben, he never married, and he never denied any of the allegations against his orientation.
Right.
Which are both very notable, for the 1700s.
Oh, yeah,
late 1700s.
There's extreme pressure for you. Everybody's staring at you and talking about you and thinking you're bad news.
Mm-hmm. But the closest he came to, it being part of the discussion was he had to ask Washington to basically speak for him and his morals in a letter to Congress that would make them reimburse his pension.
Okay.
It's basically just because of that.
Wow.
But Congress wasn't coming through with the financial stuff, which is part part von Steuben's personality. He could be apparently aloof and kind of cold and not diplomatic.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, which doesn't help. And, he lived extravagantly.
Right.
And it notes especially on his uniforms, which were often emblazoned with medals of his own design.
So they're do you even need it? We need this for the government to function.
Right, you're using it poorly. You're like a weird foreigner.
Who's gay.
You're just going to use it on all your like boyfriends.
Your underwear parties. We're done with that.
We're done with it. But so his former aide-de-camps, all his friends, Walker, North, Alexander Hamilton, even,
yeah.
They did everything they could to, like, get Congress to grant him his money.
Right.
To little avail, but they were trying.
Okay.
But, like, the people in Congress would say it was because of rank.
What?
So it was known that, von Steuben wasn't actually the rank that he said he was, or that it was said that he was.
Who cares? He made it so we won.
Right. So, but he went from poor foreign captain guy to like a really affluent, well, quote unquote affluent lieutenant general, inspector general. So they would say that it's not about the charges of sexual misconduct, but
they'd be lying.
Guy Arthur. Yeah, they're definitely lying. There was a guy, Arthur Lee, who had been to the Prussian court and absolutely knew.
Uh-huh.
It seems unbelievable that the Baron's personal history wasn't a factor.
Right. Of course not.
Sigh. But Hamilton, our boy Hamilton, helped him out. Right. So von Steuben owed... I didn't look this up, like, in dollars or what the current amount would be.
Okay.
But he owed a balance of, like, 506 pounds.
Ooh, that's a lot, though. In now money, yeah, I'm sure.
It's a lot, though. You know it's a lot.
Yeah, inflation's gonna be crazy.
Uh-huh. But Hamilton sold, like, the 1.5 shares he owned in the Bank of New York, withdrew all his dividends, and he used the money to pay von Steuben's debt.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know, and everyone's like, what? No, don't do that. You were losing money by not waiting until the worth of the stock rose, and he did it anyway.
What a brilliant baby.
What a cool guy. Yeah, so they remain buds.
Oh, so I did look up an inflation calculator. The earliest it goes is 1800, so it's significantly probably wrong, maybe. But it says $506, so it's dollars also, would have been $7,242.
Oh, no.
That's a lot of money.
That's quite a bit of debt.
Yeah.
In whatever he was using it for.
His boys and his parties.
His flaming shots parties.
Yeah, and his fake uniforms.
What a man. So, I'm going to name a couple other people that, like, you may or may not know.
Okay.
So after the war, von Steuben stayed in America, obviously. And he actually ended up legally adopting Walker and North.
That's weird.
Like actually adopting them. I mean, I don't think he did it, like, until, like, later on in his will.
Right.
But he also, quote-unquote, adopted John Mulligan.
Oh, yep.
That's right. Hercules Mulligan's son.
Nice.
And Charles Adams, John Adams' son.
Oh, that's weird.
You're about to learn some stuff about some founding people's sons.
They have dads, so it's weird that you're adopting them.
Yeah, at least that one is quote-unquote adopted, because it wasn't, they weren't legal holders of von Steuben's estate.
Right.
So Charles, John Adams and Abigail Adams' son.
Okay.
Was the rebel of the family.
Quincy Adams' brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we can take that to mean he probably didn't stick to the Puritan values and ways.
Right, conventional. Unconventional dude.
We can also say he was a gay alcoholic, and he definitely did not stick to the Puritan ways.
Oh, Charles.
Like it says, Charles.
You cad.
But Abigail. You cad. Sit down, Charles. Abigail said he was not at peace with himself.
Oh, well, maybe she just wasn't at peace with who he was.
Yeah. I mean, his alcoholism was definitely, like, his biggest problem.
Right, but at the time, they don't even know alcoholism is a thing.
Right. It's like, you're not functioning well. So, first, Charles started living with this guy, John Mulligan.
Okay.
Son of Hercules Mulligan.
Right.
And then John Adams starts getting suspicious, like, what shenanigans are these two boys getting up to?
These special boys.
These very special friendships. And there are references to Charles's alleged consorting with men whom his parents regarded as unsavory, which seems like a weird phrasing.
Yeah, that is a
like,
bit
I'm pretty
weird.
Sure any men would be unsavory.
Don't know. I mean, maybe they just like, really didn't like that guy.
Like, that guy in particular was not good.
Right.
But one of these men was our boy Von Steumann.
Hey!
And so they started living with him.
Hey, yep.
And then more shenanigans.
Of course.
I don't know. They played board games for a couple years.
Naked
board
games. Yeah, probably.
But yeah, Mulligan wrote to Baron Von Steumann. Be like, hey, Von Steumann, my BF's dad's being super mean about stuff.
Right.
Also, his dad's the second president. It's really awkward. But you take in young gays. It's like what you do. We come hang over. And Von Steumann's like, yeah, come on over. We'll do shots.
It's like revolutionary, my date with the president's son. Like that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, awkward. Except for you can't be gay and he's real mad about it.
He's real mad about it. And just like the other guys, like Charles eventually marries, like, because basically everyone has to. You can't just like.
Yeah.
Be an upper class dude who's not married.
Unless you're Benjamin Franklin.
Unless you're Benjamin Franklin.
And then you're just
everyone
a literal pimp. Everybody's into it.
He's like, you see my hat? I'm still wearing it.
I'm on the $100 bill and I wasn't even president. Suckas.
Yeah. And then sadly, Charles died of liver disease because he was an alcoholic.
Right. That makes sense.
Alcoholic.
That's where it goes, straight to the liver.
When he was like 30, he was really young, I think.
I mean, even then, that's young.
So back on my favorite dude, Von Steumann.
Right.
So he kind of had a falling out with the rest of his guys, being North and Walker.
Okay.
And it was mostly arguments over money, because money was just always a problem.
Right. It always is.
Because it was just always a problem. Mm-hmm. But John Mulligan was there up until Von Steumann's death.
Okay.
Which was like 1780s, 1790s. John Mulligan ended up being, like, his secretary. Once again, he was his secretary.
Yeah.
For several years, until Von Steumann's death. And Mulligan inherited Von Steumann's library.
Oh, nice.
All his maps and, like, $2,500 cash.
Ooh, that's good.
A pretty big amount.
Right.
For the time.
Right.
Especially because the Baron was, like, destitute.
Well, especially if $500 was $7,000. That's a lot.
Right, that's kind of a sizable bit of his fortune.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
But, like, there are a lot of copies of Von Steumann's will up, because this is where he names Benjamin Walker and William North as his quote-unquote children.
Right.
And he makes them the sole owners of his estate and the executors of his will.
So he probably just adopted them so that he could put them in there, because you couldn't be like, to my boyfriends.
Right. I'm like, you are a very sneaky man. Uh-huh. Like, I can't marry him, but hey, they're my kids, so now they inherit all my stuff anyway.
Smart.
Right? Smart. But, oh my gosh, I found John Mulligan's letter from when, it sounds like Von Steumann had a heart attack.
Oh no!
It said he had a palsy and, like, his left side really hurt.
Oh no!
And it sounds like he kind of carried on for a few days.
Right.
But did eventually die.
That's most death a heart attack, man.
I know. But Mulligan's letter is to Benjamin Walker. And he's just, like, his whole world's falling apart.
Aww,
he says, like, the stroke was too violent. And yesterday, my good God, my parent died.
That's so sad.
Like, I wish you were here. And, like, I just wish, like, we could be together at this time. And he sends for someone to get North. And he asked Walker to get there as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, y'all love him.
Poor babies.
So nice.
Right. And I'm sure he would be happy that he had people who were upset that he was gone out of the world.
Right, like even, I don't know if they like patched things up with North and Walker right. before he died, but it wasn't enough for him to be like, you know what, you're out of the will. It's like, no.
Right. He definitely still loved them, at least somewhat.
Right, still loved them. So, on that really high note, I'm so glad I started learning about this guy. Apparently it was a bit of like a puzzle, like he's, you know, kind of aloof and cold and fussy, and he like took his dog with him to war.
That's wonderful.
But then like he also clearly like loved his men and took his job very seriously.
No, yeah, that's great. I'm glad that you did him so that I could learn about him too. I also want to say, just because maybe we should have started with something like this, when we're like saying gay, we're definitely not being derogatory. Like, both of us are totally cool with homosexuals, and that's great for you. Right. So when we're like making, like we were saying gay boys, we're just saying that they are gay men who like each other.
Yes, they are homosexuals.
In no way we're insulting them.
Right. Except that saying homosexual every time makes it sound like we're weird clinical scientists.
Right. And like, and we're not saying gay and boys, like infantilizing them, but like that always happens with girls. So I like to do it with boys too.
Yeah. If you can call women girls all the time, we can call you boys.
That's right.
Affectionately.
Yeah, completely. I was not insulting anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, if you think I have anything but love for von Steuben, no.
You wouldn't have chosen him if you thought anything bad of him. Well, I mean, at least for your favorite, at least.
Right. So I want to tell you, like, when I was researching him, this was part of the, like, where have I been my entire life? How did I not learn about this man sooner?
Right.
So there's a, I don't know, I assume it's Steubenville because it's in Ohio.
Okay.
And they pronounce it Toledo instead of Toledo.
Right.
So it's like,
they're always wrong.
I don't know. It's like the most American way you can pronounce it, probably. I didn't bother looking it
right.
up.
Right. Incorrectly.
But there's a town in Ohio named after him, and they have a recreated Fort Steuben that, in my mind, is just like a sprawling von Steuben theme park where every day is von Steuben Day.
That's awesome.
Which is a real holiday.
What?
And I never.
What day
heard
is
of
it?
I don't. That's, I forgot to look it up.
Oh, that's my new favorite holiday. I'm going to look it up.
Right, look it up for me while I'm talking.
I will.
So, von Steuben is one of four European military leaders who assisted the American cause during the Revolution, and he was honored with a statue in Lafayette Square just north of the White House, so I assume it's Steuben, Lafayette, and I'm not sure who the other two are.
Right.
Other two equally unknown by me important Europeans.
Okay.
There's also...
I have the day.
Oh, go ahead.
Von Steuben Day is a holiday traditionally held on a weekend in mid-September because he was born on September 17th. So apparently whatever the weekend is closest to that is the day. And they have a parade in New York.
Oh my God. I need to tell you about the parades.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, there are huge parades. New York, Chicago, and I think Philadelphia have enormous parades.
What?
Like, how have I never heard about any of this? But... have you ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah, of course.
The parade that they crash is a von Steuben
is
Day
it?
Parade.
I just assumed it was like, I guess it's not like Macy's Day Parade, but I just assumed, I had no idea.
I assumed it was like an Oktoberfest, like weird, random, generic, like German thing.
But that would make sense because, see, that's what he was.
Right.
He was a random Germanic thing.
I think Wikipedia goes a little bit far, and it says it's often considered the German-American event of the year.
Yeah.
No citation. No. I'm like, Oktoberfest? Surely.
Yes, of course Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest?
I think so.
There's a bust of Steuben in the garden of the German embassy in the Washington, D.C., in the statues.
Right.
We gave one to Germany in the 80s as a sign of renewed friendship.
Oh, that's so cute.
There's a football stadium at Hamilton College called Steuben Field.
That's awesome.
Which von Steuben laid the first cornerstone of the school way back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Because Alexander Hamilton was sick that day or, like, rap battling or making questionable life choices somewhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear. And then on graduating, all Hamilton seniors get like a cane with a tricorn hat on it in reference to von Steuben.
That's so cute.
He's just everywhere.
Well,
I feel like the world's been lying to me.
The problem is, Haley, probably people don't know this yet, but we're both West Coasters. So
yes,
this is a very Eastern Coast central thing because of early revolutionary stuff kind of all is, you know? So yeah. It makes sense that we wouldn't know that, but I'm...
Do you know the cartoon Liberty's Kids?
No, never heard of it.
It's a PBS cartoon, I think.
Okay.
But it's sort of like a cartoon about the Revolutionary War.
Sure.
Von Steuben is in it.
Nice.
He's voiced by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Which I cannot believe, and I need to look up the
episode.
That's
so funny. Oh, man.
There's also a Drunk History episode, which I need to watch, but Von Steuben is played by David Cross.
Ooh, nice.
So, if you need a mental image of Baron Von Steuben, just think, like, Tobias Funke with a stank of Schwarzenegger, and you're most of the way there.
That's
just,
such like, a weird combination. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. So that's Von Steuben.
Wow.
So, one of the weekends of September... Listeners, go have a flaming shot if you're of age.
In underwear.
Yeah. Take off your pants and drink.
Yep.
Flaming shots.
Just for him.
In honor of the founding daddy of the U.S. military.
Right. We wouldn't have a country without him, so
pay him. We all would have died of smallpox, sadly.
Yep.
In the winter.
We'd still be British, and it would be a bad time, so.
We'd have way better accents, though.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Listeners wouldn't know, but we're from the West Coast. I'm from Alaska, and you're from Washington?
Sure am. Washington State.
Washington State.
Which is on the West Coast, yes.
Washington.
Yes.
There's so much about my country I don't know, because Alaska just doesn't care.
Yeah, it's fair.
Just does not care.
I mean, it's fairly removed. There's lots I don't know, but I feel like it's just because my history teachers didn't care a whole lot about it. So
right.
There's that.
Yeah. One last thing.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sad I almost missed this.
Do it.
So I forget if in the first episode I talked about Wikipedia articles just not citing things and being a mess. Von Steuben's is in a state of... Okay, well, Von Steuben's Wikipedia articles is in a state of... loving disarray. It's a mess. There's no editing. I made sure to fact check everything I could.
Right.
But some of the lines are so glaring. Like there's one, it was talking about Von Steuben Day. It says, quote, "It's often considered the most German-American event of the year," or the premiere.
Yeah.
There's no citation, nope. No like by whom tag.
They just,
even.
That person thinks that.
Right. And, let me see. He's talking about Philadelphia hosts a smaller Steuben Day parade in the northeast section of the city. Steubenville, or Steubenville, or however Ohioans say
sure,
it,
sure.
has the recreated Fort Steuben, named after, and this is a quote from Wikipedia, "our beloved Baron."
That's a weird thing to say.
That is not the encyclopedia tone.
Nope, that's very personable.
That was very personal, editor.
Oh, also,
I agree, but...
people from Ohio, please send us an email at hystericalhistorypodcast@gmail.com about how to pronounce the name of that city.
Yeah. Oh, tell us.
Very curious.
If you're from, like, one of those main cities or even somewhere else, have you ever been to a Von Steuben Day?
Right.
I've been asking everyone I know in the Midwest, and, like, no one's heard of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Have you been to the parade? Have you been to the day? Is it the premier German holiday in America? Let us know.
Is that even remotely true?
I feel like it's not, but maybe you think so. So please tell
maybe,
us.
Maybe, yeah. Also, do you do shots at the parade? That's very important to
me. I feel like you'd have to.
Right? I don't know. Then again, I had no idea this man even really exists.
That's true.
Existed.
But
which is such a shame. But, and now all of you do.
Right. You know, and I know now. So thank you. And all of our listeners do. And it's wonderful.
All of our listeners.
Yep.
I think that's about it. Wrapping up.
All right.
Episode 2.
That was great. I appreciated it. Thanks for teaching me,
thank
Haley.
You.
And for teaching the people.
The people.
Yeah.
Our people.
Our peeps.
Our people.
Yeah.
So if you're still listening, you know, thanks for sticking around. Rate us, comment, subscribe on YouTube.
iTunes. And that helps
wherever podcast is sold.
Right, right. Yeah. That helps a lot for exposure. Yeah, on iTunes. We'll also be on Google Play or SoundCloud that you can listen if you're not, you know, an Apple person. We have.
It's okay. I'm not really an Apple person.
Yeah. So you'll be listening to our own podcast on something else.
On something else.
And like I said, we have an email, hystericalhistorypodcast@gmail.com. Please send us your future suggestions. Send us your opinions about von Steuben and Napoleon also. And look us up on Facebook. We have a fan page. And just, you know, thanks for joining us and thinking history is cool.
Yeah. Next topic is our favorite ladies.
Right. And of course, I will be doing a French woman. I'll just leave it up to your imagination right now.
Yeah. Who could it be?
Who could it possibly be?
Who could it possibly be?
All right.
And I don't know who I'm doing yet, but it'll be someone good.
Yeah, we got time.
I don't know if it'll be as fabulous, but I hope so.
Hopefully you can find a fabulous lady.
Okay. Well, on that note, thanks for listening.
And you'll hear us next time.